Okay, here we go. Another live show, Lion of Judah Synagogue. I've been away for 2 weeks on vacation, just getting back to it. So, here we go. They are all right, we're back into our talking about kings, and now we're talking about Solomon, David's son from Bathsheba. All right, remember Solomon's brothers all got killed. All right, so Solomon is... I needed to cover some stuff. We're going to go from Solomon's dreams, all right? So Solomon has his first dream, and God basically says, what do you want? I'll let you ask me one thing, and you can ask me one question. And so Solomon's like, you know, please give me the wisdom so that I can rule over these people righteously. There's so many of them, and I've just become king of all these people, and I need to know how to rule over them. And so God said, I'll grant you the wisdom and you'll be wiser than anyone that ever lives, which is hard for me to believe, but that's what God says. All right. So, and Solomon gets tested right away by two prostitutes. And this is where Solomon's wisdom comes to light immediately, to where people are like, damn, this dude is brilliant. So two prostitutes come before him at the court, and one says, hey, you know, we both had babies around the same time. And while I was sleeping, she rolled over her baby and killed it on accident and then came and put her dead baby in my bed. And the other lady's like, that's a lie. This is my baby. This is my little honey. And so... how would you, as a person, deal with that situation? The clock's ticking. Tick-tock, tick-tock, like Jeopardy. I'll give you a second to think about it. How would you deal with it where one lady was saying, hey, this is my baby, and the other lady saying, no, this is my baby. Obviously, you don't have DNA tests back then, although DNA tests are corruptible too, so don't ever fall for the DNA scheme, especially not in court where they just tell you whatever they want to tell you. Okay, so the DNA doesn't work when it comes to, like, executing people as far as the Mosaic court goes. You have to have two witnesses under Mosaic law. Right. But Solomon needed to find out whose baby this was without a DNA test and without waiting for it to grow up to show signs and figure it out. So Solomon says, hey... looks at the executioner next to him and says, hey, get a sword and go divide the baby in half. And the one lady started screaming. She was like, please, no. Oh, my gosh, no. Please, no. And the other lady is like, fine. Half can be hers and half can be mine. And so Solomon immediately knew who the mother was, because the mother has a fear of losing her child. So Solomon put her in that position to where immediately she cried out, like, don't take my child, which any mother would. So Solomon knew that. Unfortunately, today, many people don't know that. All right. So, getting back on point now. Solomon showed his wisdom, but now Solomon is committed with the task of building not only his palace to live in, but the temple of God also. Because David, his father, was instructed not to, because he was involved in too much bloodshed, and God didn't want, like, that warfare going on. Like, you know, David wasn't the Prince of Peace. That's funny, huh? But Solomon was commanded to build the palace because Solomon lived in a time of peace because David fought so hard for God that he secured peace for the kingdom for a while. Until it went the other way from David's reign, which was very strict, and Solomon's reign was a little bit more strict. Then it went the other way to too lax. So you either had too strict or too lax. It was basically the kingship. But it was way, way worse on people when it was too lax. Way, 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 way worse. Okay, so it was important, and David and Solomon both did a great job leading and were great rulers, the greatest of all time so far. So, the point is that Solomon had to get all the stuff, and we covered, like, Hiram. He got Hiram, the king, King Hiram, to send down Lebanon cedars because they needed cedar for it, and then they also had cypress wood, and so all the floors were covered in cypress wood, and the walls were covered in cedar planks, and then overlaid with gold, the cedar was. But for some reason, the floor was all cypress wood. Just for a reason. Then, that's what we covered last week, is that Hiram sent them down on rafts, the big Lebanon cedars, and then broke them apart, and that's how David got all the wood. Otherwise, they wouldn't have enough wood to build these two huge buildings. I think it was the third year of Solomon's reign when he started on the temple. And then he had to get another guy out of Tyre, which was the king of Tyre was Hiram. But then there was another guy named Hiram. How I understand it, they're both named the same thing, out of Tyre. And he had to get this dude because this guy could build bronze stuff. And so this guy built two huge pillars of bronze with 4-inch thick bronze, all right? So pillars of bronze, and the walls of it were 4 inches thick going around. So it's hollow in the middle, but otherwise it was 4 inches thick going around. And he built them and put one on the south and one on the north, and the one on the south was the Jachin, and the one on the north was the Boaz, I believe. Double check on that for you. Maybe get back to you next week on that. Maybe. I don't like putting myself out there like that, but maybe I'll try. I'll try not to promise things anymore, because then you got to actually do them. Okay. So the point is that he was tasked with building this temple, and they got he got Hiram out of Tyre to come down and cast these bronze things. And the other thing that Hiram made was a big bronze pot. And on the bronze pot, there was 3 oxen that went west and 3 east and 3 north and 3 south. And it says how much it could fill, but it was huge. And the walls of that were 4 inches thick. So think about this bronze, dude. And it says that they cast it outside the Jordan, next to the Jordan, in 2 towns, Succoth and one more other town, I think it begins with a Z. I'll have to check on that, too. So, yeah, that's where they cast those big bronze things. So they probably needed the Jordan River waters in order to do it. That'd be pretty cool, though, using like the holiest things in the world, the river Jordan, and being able to cast those things and dip them in there. And they're huge too, and they're inside the temple. And then he made little tiny utensils, but I didn't get why the utensils were bronze, why he made bronze utensils. They must have been used somewhere, but all the utensils in the temple were gold. So that's what I didn't really get. And it says that immediately once this whole process started, that the glory of God filled the temple. Almost like a pool getting filled up. Yeah, almost now it's like, okay, the plug is in the pool. Now we can fill the pool up. Kind of exactly what the glory of God is. Like, kind of. That's how I would explain it, how I understand it. So, yeah, once the third temple is built, the plug will be back on the pool, and then we can start filling it up. Yeah, oh, the tub. We could call it a tub. The cup of trembling, we could call it. Maybe. Or, yeah, maybe. Okay, so what else? So, yeah, so then they got the, we won't get to that yet because there's a few more things we got to cover about this. They had the utensils, then everything else was made of gold, overlaid with gold. Okay, so then he has a big gathering around where they dedicate the temple. Again, they put the Ark of the Covenant in it. And at this time, it says that the only thing inside the Ark of the Covenant was the tables brought down by Moses. Like, somewhere, I guess, because it doesn't say, the budded rod of Aaron and the manna, somebody took those and must have done something with them. Like, all these artifacts and stuff, I'm surprised no one ever questions where all these artifacts are. Like, really, they're just like, oh, yeah, no, we don't. They don't even believe. They don't even believe in rocks. Basically, the non-believers, the losers, they don't believe in rocks. They're like, oh, even if you showed them a rock, they're like, we don't believe in the rock. We're going to do something else. Something else besides believe in the rock. It's like, okay, that is not brilliant at all. And I hope that kids don't ever learn that behavior and never get subjected to that kind of temperament. If you're getting taught that we come from rocks, please leave that place. Please get out of there. Run. Find a synagogue. Or right now a synagogue, but the House of Israel eventually. Yeah, and then run in there and say, yo, we're not having no part of any of that stupid stuff going on out there where they believe in rocks. Okay, so where are we at? We are at... Okay, so then he goes and has those bronze thing cast, has the utensils made, everything's covered in gold, gets the Ark of the Covenant in there. Oh, the other thing it says he made was the angels, the cherubim. And they were, like, I want to say 12 feet from one wing to one wing, but it might be 15. I don't remember. It might be more than that even. But from one wing to one wing. And so, basically, they covered the whole room. Maybe not the whole room. Because it says the pole stuck out longer than the wings so that you could see the poles from like inside the room when you're entering into it, but not from outside the room. So that's how it looked, and that's how the gold was done. Yeah, how everything was done in there. All right. So then they had this big ceremony, and now they put the Ark of the Covenant in there, and then Solomon's outside on the porch in the front on his knees praying to God, saying, Lord, whenever people repent and turn back to the Mosaic law, hear them and heal their land and heal them. And whenever they go astray and they turn back, then heal them and help them. And whenever they, make a mistake and mess up and they turn back and they pray to the temple, then heal them and help them. And that was kind of his prayer. And then after that, he has his dream, and then God tells him, like, hey, as long as you follow the commands of Moses and do what I told Moses to tell you to do, everything is going to be great. But if you don't, and if your descendants won't, then everything will not be so good. But I will always keep your family in the dynasty. And we're going to find out more about that family next week.
Your presence is all I see.